say ain't no good, and I'm crazy as a loon. Cause I shave my head in the morning, pick guitar in the afternoon. Just like old Chief and Charlie, I like to lay around in the shade. Well, I ain't got no money, but you better believe I got it made. Cause I ain't asking nobody for nothing if I can't get it on my own. Just leave this bald-headed country boy alone.
What's up, folks? Hey, with me today is Miss Farron Rachels. Thank you for taking time. I feel like I have blown up every one of your posts on TikTok for the past month since I found out you had one, trying to get you on the show. So thank you for hanging out with me for a little bit.
Of course. Thank you for asking me.
So I didn't tell you this before the show. I wanted this to be like in the moment. I have a weird obsession with you. I have a very weird obsession with you. So I don't remember who showed me on paper like a year ago. My studio has been open for 2 years now. But one day somebody was in here and we were writing or doing something. I can't remember what it was. And they're like, you got to hear this song. And I have rode so many dirt roads and listened to that song and drank so much beer. I just want you to know, I am obsessed with every line of that song and the way you sing the shit out of it.
Oh, thank you so much. That's still one of my favorites. We put that one out like in 2017 or 18. I don't know, but it's still like every show we play, everybody I meet that like knows who I am is always like, on paper. We've had people talk about playing it at their weddings, which is hilarious to me because it's like really the only good love song I think I've ever written, but I love it.
Well, me being like as rough around the edges as I am and as loud and obnoxious and maybe I drink too much and have too much fun, like that is the perfect song though. Like when I'm trying to flirt with anybody or whatever, I've told like every woman, I'm like, just play this song for me. And I'll be sweet to you. I promise.
I love that.
It's awesome. I love it. So where are you from? Aren't you a Georgia girl too?
I'm a Georgia girl. I grew up in Sparta, Georgia, which most people even in Georgia don't know where it's at, but it's like near Milledgeville or Macon.
So you're my neighbor.
Where are you at? Where's the studio at?
I'm right below Macon. I'm in Cochran, Georgia.
Okay. Well, next time I come home, I'll have to let you know. Maybe I actually come to the studio, but yeah, my mom lives in Sparta and I grew up there and then I went to school. I went to UGA. So I spent a few years in Athens.
Okay.
In Atlanta about a year and a half, and then I moved to Nashville and been here ever since. So yeah.
How long have you been up there?
10 years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just flown by.
Well, it depends. Some days it feels like a couple years, and then some days it feels like I've been here 100.
Yeah, I cannot live there. I go up there for about a week at a time every month to record shows, do everything that I've got to do. And then I get out of town as fast as possible. And I usually go from like a Sunday to a Thursday because I don't like the weekends there.
That's what I tell people when they're coming to visit. They're like, what are your recommendations? I'm like, well, first of all, don't come on a Friday. You know, it's just, I don't know. It's just too much for me. Sparta, where I'm from, is like super small. I graduated high school with 12 people. So Nashville, and honestly, when I moved here like 10 years ago, I moved here from Atlanta. So it was like a breath of fresh air. It was like, oh God, this is like a big city, but it doesn't feel like one. But over the last, like since I've been here, it's changed so much. Like we didn't used to have all this traffic and not so many bachelorette parties and stuff on the weekend. I don't even go to Broadway much anymore, but when I first moved here, I would go to like Roberts or Legends and like on a Tuesday or something. But now I don't even do that because it's just craziness down there.
I got one dude that when I'm in town that I go see, but he's a Georgia boy and we're real close. His name's Blaine Bunny and he plays at AJ's. That's the only reason I go on Broadway. Otherwise, Live Oak, Red Door, Losers. I really like Music City though, and Scoreboards. I like to kind of get away from everything.
Well, the Nashville Palace used to be my
that's
favorite.
What I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But Scoreboard is one of my favorites too. They still have great, like, all the bands when you go there. If you like listen to all the people played in those bands, like some of them used to play for like George Jones. Or, you know, it's like they're always like top notch musicians and stuff. The bands are always so great, and they're always playing like classic country. So great.
Yeah, that's my obsession. I can't do it's not that I can't do the new stuff. It's got to be good new stuff. Like, there's a bunch of it I just cannot handle. I can't handle it.
I know. We sound like I sound like my grandpa, though. I feel like when I talk about music now, he's always, you know, he's like, this new shit, nobody can sing like the Possum. And I'm like, well, you're right. But, you know, we're going to still keep making music. So, like,
yeah, but I don't know. I'm weird about it in a way that I don't think it's just that the voice of some people. I think it's the songs that are being put out. Like the one that you've got coming out that we're going to promote some on the show for next week, the Anything But Over. That is a beautifully written song. Like, that one's one that whether you're a man or a woman, you hear that and you get jacked up for it. Like, it's, I'm all about a sad song, but sad songs don't make me sad. They actually make me happy. I'm probably so messed up in the head that it's ridiculous.
Well, but I'm the same.
Yeah, like, I'm obsessed with a good sad song or a slow song. And I would rather hear that kind of stuff than, I'm tired of hearing about somebody's damn truck or, you know, or glitter. I'm tired. I say glitter a lot for some reason. I don't like the glitter. I shouldn't say that. That makes me sound like a bigger asshole than I am. I like the old school. Like, one of the things that I like about you, I like about Kimberly Atwood, who's one of my real good buddies. Allie Colleen's been on the show. I like when a woman's a badass. Like, and like, she can do her own thing. She's not like being over sexualized, I guess. Like, I don't want, I'm tired of that shit. Like, I have a daughter that's gonna be 11 in a couple days. And one of the things, like, I try to teach her, like, I want her to be like a Viking queen. I want her to be a badass, be able to express herself and everything. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt for like so long that if you didn't have a freaking tube top on, a mini skirt and knee high boots or tight ass leather pants or whatever, like, you couldn't get a song heard. And then if you did get a song heard, it wasn't that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's frustrating. It's different. I mean, I joke all the time and say I wasn't really a feminist till I moved to Nashville. I mean, obviously I'm all about girl power, but it is a little ridiculous. I've had, when I first was taking meetings, like publishing deal meetings several years ago, I mean, I can't tell you how many times I heard, we love your songs, we love what you're doing, but we just signed a girl like last week or whatever. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Like, you just signed 10 dudes last week too, but you're still signing dudes. So it's definitely different for girls. And I feel like when we write too, there's so many in country music, is there's so many things that people are like, but can a girl say that? And I'm like, we can say whatever the fuck we want. Like, I don't know how it happened, and I don't like try to spend too much time thinking about it, honestly, because it just pisses me off. And I feel like the way that I can make things better is just keep making great music and, you know, hope that it gets heard. But it's weird. It's weird out here for a girl in these Nashville streets.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And I also think, like, every, I don't know what to say, 10 years for the hell of it, there's a turn in country music. Like, you had the greats from the 80s and the 90s, then it went kind of bro and poppy. I think what's coming back around now is the traditional stuff. But also, I really, really am going to die on this cross right here. I think, like, the female outlaw is coming up. Like, I think between McBride and a bunch of y'all that are just badasses, that are just like, you know what? I'm tired of riding shotgun for the boys. Make them son of a bitches ride shotgun for once. Like, there's something about that I really like. I don't have a problem with it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I hope not. Ashley is like, she's, you know, changed the game for a lot of us women, I feel like. You know, she was older when she got her record deal. She'd been in town. I remember the first, you want to hear a funny story about Ashley?
Yes, ma'am, I do.
First time I ever wrote with her, I met her probably 6 years ago. I don't know. We were just set up for a write, and I'd heard about her, but back then she didn't have a record deal yet. She didn't have, you know, she wasn't Ashley McBride like she is now. But I'd heard a little bit of her stuff and knew she was great. And all I'd seen though was like, what a badass she is. And, you know, and it's weird living in Nashville because, artists have to like brand themselves. So it's, especially if you're a girl, it's like, there's gotta be a clear like lane, or that's how the labels make you feel, you know? And so I always wonder, sometimes people are like putting on for their brand, you know, to try to be that person that they're supposed to be. And I heard she was like rough around the edges and didn't give a fuck or whatever. Our first write, it's like 10 a.m. and she walks in. She's like, "Hey, I'm Ashley. Nice to meet you. I'm like, I'm Faring. I've heard so much about you. Looking forward to today." She pulls out a flask and a can of dip out of her guitar case and sits down and puts a dip in and gets her pen and paper out, and we start writing a song. And I was just like, you are exactly what I hoped you would be. Like, she's just, what you see is what you get. And I still tell that story all the time because people, I think, I don't know, it's just like when women, you know, are a little rough around the edges, it's always like, I hear people, it feels like they think it's just a put on or just a show. And I'm like, no, that's who she is, you know? And I respect the hell out of it. She's just always been her.
Yeah, see, I like it so much more than the other side of it. I don't like the prissy. I have to watch how I say shit, like, so bad, because I always will end up sticking my foot in my mouth. I am the king of taking stuff way too far and just making an ass out of myself.
Well, but same. I'm sober this morning, so.
I have a hangover. That's why I'm drinking a Budweiser at 12 o'clock. But I like when you have that authentic side, because I feel like there's not enough of that anymore in music regardless, but especially in Nashville. Like, you just don't see. When I hear you sing a song, I guess I've been to so many writers round and watched a bunch of my friends do it now, that I feel like I can tell you whether that song is actually something you lived through or not. And I love when you actually can connect with that artist and hear them play something that they lived through. And every time I've heard Ashley or somebody like you actually sing a song, it just really seems like you've lived that. That means a lot to me, even though I'm obsessed with music the way that I am, not like the average person. But like, when I see some dude up there in skinny jeans and he's got on a Nirvana t-shirt, never listened to Nirvana, and got on a Stetson that he paid way too much for, that he would never wear if he wasn't on stage, and he's singing about some bullshit that he's never been through. Like, you've never been hunting, dude. You've never been fishing. You know, don't do that.
I get it, and I feel the same, but I guess I have like empathy for people trying to make it in this town, because I've gotten sucked into that before, like trying to be something I'm not, you know, like I had to be, you gotta be a certain size and you gotta, you know, I smoke cigarettes too much. So it's like, you can't be posting that stuff, you know, like, I don't know. It's just, all the opinions, there's always an opinion. There's always somebody in your ear about what you can and can't do. And when you're dealing with dreamers, you know, it's like, this is all I've ever wanted to do my whole life. So if I have some dude who's been in the business for 30 years telling me, you can't be this, it's not going to work. And if this is like who I am, you know, it fucks with you. And people, everybody's just trying to chase a dream, you know, and it's like, we're all just trying to figure it out. So I'm just so thankful that, I don't know, that I've finally got to a place where I feel like I have a team of people that are like, just do you, like, be who you are, because that's what we want, you know, you to be.
I did a show with me and Bobby Pinson at the beginning of August. It was at Seagull, and
Pinson.
Boy, I love me some Bobby.
I'm sure y'all. I figured y'all are two peas in a pot.
We get along quite well. Unfortunately, every time I leave being around him for a day, my head hurts for about a week. So
he's hilarious, though. Like, he's so brilliant and talented. I still haven't written with him, but I have a lot of friends that have, and I've hung out with him many nights at Red Door, and He just has the best stories and the most hilarious one-liners. You never know what's going to come out of that man's mouth.
Absolutely not. But he was telling me when we did the show, kind of what you were just talking about. He finally had to get to the point to where he just quit giving a fuck. And he told me something that, I will remember it till the day I die. He said, you got to end up writing one great song before you can write a whole lot of good ones. And he's like, the second that I kind of let myself go and was like, you know what, I'm just going to do it my way. He's like, that's when it started clicking for me. And, but I mean, he's got more talent in his thumbnail than most people have in their whole bodies.
But, yeah. He's definitely a pro, but yeah. He's right. I mean, I feel like I've always like naturally leaned towards like, I'm just going to be me. Like what you see is what you get. But not until like COVID did I really start not giving one fuck. Like, cause then it changed my whole life. Cause during COVID I was out of a deal. I was nannying, driving for Uber, like cleaning my friends' houses, like just, you know, what the hell am I doing with my life kind of thing. And cause we weren't able to tour and I had like just left the deal I was in right before COVID hit. And it taught me so much because it taught me, first of all, like, who the hell are you without this? You know, like, can you be happy? Because I put all my, I mean, this country music's all I've ever really cared about. So that was nice to learn that, like, okay, like, I'm still a cool person, even if I don't get to, you know what I mean? Like, but also it taught me that, like, all of it can be gone in a second. And, like, I'd rather make music that when I'm old and gray, like I was proud of, no matter whether it ever gets to the radio or not, you know, like, so I don't know. It's easier said than done. But I think like during COVID, I like really realized like, I'm going to make me proud and I'm going to make music that I like, you know?
Yeah. I think there's too many people that are chasing a dollar sign instead of like actually chasing like a legacy. Are chasing like an all-time song and being authentic. I don't think there was anybody that we ever looked up to growing up or any of the older artists that we love that ever thought about, you know what, I'm going to write this song for a paycheck. I'm sure it happened after the fact. They had wrote some songs that blew them up. I mean, because everybody wants the mailbox money. I mean, you'd be stupid not to want some mailbox money. But at the same time, I think most of them sat down and was like, I'm going to put my heart and soul into this. I'm going to be authentic. And when you do that, you're the only person that can write a song about your life because you've lived your life. But there's a lot of people that probably can relate to it. There's nobody else that can go down the same road writing a song as you can if it's about you. Yeah. And I think that's where so many of these people that are amazing songwriters or performers back in the day, I think that's what they were chasing instead of just, I want to be in the top 10. I want to, you know, I want to write the next Kane Brown release or whatever, anything like that. I think they were just being real to themselves. That's probably why I'm obsessed with like the outlaw stuff and the 80s stuff, and especially Whitley and Earl Thomas Conley and all that kind of stuff. I'm obsessed with it because when you hear it, you just know he lived it. Like, he lived it.
Yeah. Yeah. You believe it. You know, what's wild though about the whole outlaw thing. I went to a screening for, I can't even remember the name. I'm terrible. My memory's the worst of what it's going to be called, but they're doing like a, you're going to love it. It's a documentary that's coming out on Netflix, I think next year. And it's on like the outlaw movement and stuff on Willie and Waylon. And we went to like the screening of like one of the episodes a few months back. And one of the crazy things they talked about in there was that the whole outlaw thing though was the record labels branding them as that. And that Willie was like, okay, cool, whatever. But Waylon was like pissed because he was like, I'm not trying to be an outlaw. Like I'm just being me. Yeah. It just doesn't fit into the industry. You know what I mean? So he's like, it's interesting to think about that even that was like a marketing thing to dial into like who they already were, but they weren't. He made it clear. He's like, I like music on the radio. It's just, that's just not what I do. So it wasn't like he was like, fuck Nashville or like, fuck all these other guys that are working. It was just like, I don't want to do that. I want to do this, you know? and that made him an outlaw. And he was like apparently kind of pissed about, he didn't want people to think that he was shitting on the other stuff, you know. Yeah. And I thought that was so cool to hear, because all we hear about Waylon Jennings is that he was shitting on this other stuff, but he didn't necessarily feel that way about all music. He liked it, but it just wasn't true to who he was, you know.
I had to learn, coming from country radio to this, I had to learn that I couldn't shit on certain things, because I'm bad about it. I'm very bad about voicing my opinion. And I was like, hey, I got on show now. I can literally do what I want to. I don't have to sit here and pretend like I don't like something anymore. Even though even when I worked in radio, I didn't pretend like I liked it. I just wouldn't say shit about it, because I wasn't going to be fake. Yeah. But I learned very quickly from being around certain people. They were like, look, if you're going to be around us and we're going to have fun and everything, and we're going to be on the show, like, you can't say that this person shit, because if they'll buy my song right now, I'm going to sell them my song. Yeah. And I never thought of that. Like, never looked at it that way before.
Yeah. Well, I think music too is like, I think about it like I think about alcohol or food or anything else I enjoy in life. It's like, I don't want to drink Miller Lite every day. Like, but some days when I'm on the lake, like, there is nothing better than Miller Lite. And like, I feel like music is that way. Like, some days I go back and all I want to listen to is Stevie Ray Vaughan, you know, but then other days, I don't know. I just think it's like, there's so much. I think there's good music and there's bad music. Like, I get so sick of all the other shit. Like, you know, well, this isn't exactly like, I mean, this new music I'm putting out is the most definitely, I guess, like what some haters would call pop. Cause we have like some drum loops and, you know, programming on it. And I just get so tired of all that. Like, so I try not to shit on other people for what they're doing. Cause it's like, we're all just trying to figure out how to make our own sound and, you know, have all those opinions in our ears the whole time. So I don't know. I try to be nice about it, but you get me drunk enough, there's plenty of stuff I would shit on probably.
I think you might be my new best friend.
Well, that's obsessed with me, so I don't know.
Do what now?
I said, well, you're obsessed with me, so
I know. I'll just become
how that's gonna work out.
I'll become a stalker right now. Just, you know, just don't put a restraining order on me yet. Yeah, I'm the same way, because like, country music is like my number one thing, but I'll get in my moods, all I want to hear is Aretha. Aretha Franklin is the prettiest voice of all time to me.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah, and I will literally, there will be people walking into the studio that's fixing to record a show or we're fixing to do something, and they will think they're just fixing to walk into the like a honky-tonk, pretty much the way my studio looks. And then they'll walk in the door and you'll hear like Son of a Preacher Man, or you'll hear something from Aretha, and I've got it turned up to 1,000. And they're just like, what? And it, you're right, because I cannot listen to the stuff that I listen to or I love all the time. I gotta switch it up sometimes. And you're liable to hear some Lil Wayne pop up every now and then.
Yeah, that's how I am. I mean, yeah. I like it all, honestly. The only thing I really can't get into is like the heavy metal stuff. And I have a lot of friends and musician friends that love that stuff. Like my publisher was trying to get me to go to a Slipknot concert this week, and it's like, you're wasting your money on that ticket taking me. Like, it's not my thing. But most, like, I love Post Malone. I love, you know, there's a band called Trash Panda that's like super, I don't know, I like to listen to it when I'm high. Like, you know, I listen to all kinds of stuff, but I always, like, with the food metaphor, it's like, but classic country music is like my fried chicken. Like,
yeah,
I can eat that every day and be just fine, you know? But every now and then I'm in the mood for sushi. So, like, every now and then I'll listen to Kings of Leon. You know what I mean?
Oh, Kings of Leon is the shit, though. Yeah. I can listen to Kings of Leon a lot. Yeah. I can't do the heavy metal stuff. I mean, we both grew up in the South. I got screamed at enough as a kid.
Retweet, same.
Yeah, I don't need to go to a concert and get screamed at. I'm going to flash back to 12 years old and get my ass whooped.
Well, I don't want to leave a concert feeling angry. Like, I go to shows to get drunk and forget about, you know what I mean, what I hate about the world. It's like, for a couple hours, you get to just enjoy the music. So that's for me, that's why I like the metal stuff. Is just, I'm like, I'm already mad all the time. I don't need to get madder, you know?
I tell you what, though, I don't like Slipknot at all, but they have one song if you've never heard it.
They have like great music, I'm sure, because there's millions of people that like it. It's just not my thing.
It's not mine at all either. But they have one song, it's called Snuff. If you've never heard Snuff, and it's like a slower song, oh, it is a banger.
Snuff, Slipknot. I'll check it out when we get done.
Yeah, it's the only thing I would ever sell anybody to listen to by them. But it is actually like one of those. It's just like, you know what? This is badass. The only rock band I've ever really got into that was heavy was Stain. Now, I listen to Stain all day.
I love some Stain. And I played a few shows. We opened up for Aaron Lewis a few times. And those shows were great.
Is he not the coolest dude to be around?
Yeah, I love the first night we were out with him. We were like, let's go side stage and like see some of the show. That man, he has a stool with his ashtray and he's smoking cigs or whatever on stage while he's tuning in between songs and stuff. And I like looked at my tour manager. I was like, that right there is goals, like to be established enough where I can bring my cigarettes on stage.
So we played in a golf tournament in Nashville for Creative Vets a couple months ago, and Aaron and a lot of bigger artists were there playing too. And it was really funny. There was this girl that I guess she had just got into Nashville or just got into music or whatever. It is Aaron, her, and then me were in the taco line. And this girl starts talking to Aaron. She had no idea who he was. She was introducing herself as if she was important to Aaron Lewis. Like, she just literally had no idea who he was or whatever. And everybody went and sat down and was eating. And then about 20 minutes later, she comes back up to him. And it was like, I had no idea that you were Aaron Lewis. I feel so embarrassed right now that I told you to look me up on Instagram and all this other stuff and everything. And it was just like, are you shitting me? Like, it tickled the absolute hell out of me.
That's funny. I don't know, though. I mean, before those shows, like, I'm the worst about knowing what people look like, or like I know names, I know like who wrote and produced stuff that I love, but a lot of times if those people were to walk in the bar, I might not know what they look like, you know what I mean? So I could see me doing something that dumb.
Yeah, it's happened to me at Losers, but in all fairness, I've been shit-faced almost every time I've ever been at Losers, but I've been standing next to people that I would have really liked to just bought them a beer, said hey. Yeah. They're hanging out with some of my buddies, our mutual friends. It's already there, but I didn't know who the fuck they were.
Just
oblivious.
Yeah.
But if I've ever been at Losers, though, that's just a whole different. It hurts every time I'm there. Red Door is the worst, but Losers is just, I end up having way too much fun. I like to slow dance. I'm not a fast dancer at all or whatever. It seems like there's always somebody that gets me out there and I'm like just going ham every time I'm at Losers.
Somebody, huh?
It was probably my fault.
Yeah, Losers used to be I used to spend many nights at Losers, Red Door, you know, Whiskey Jam, all the things. I guess I'm getting old. I don't really do it as much these days. It's a different vibe too now. It's like everything is more touristy and, you know, we love tourists, but you can't just go like Ashley, for example. Me and her used to go to Losers after we would write and get a beer. It's like, she can't do that now. You know, we wouldn't be able to have a conversation. So I don't know. I'll find myself there early afternoon after right sometimes to like have a beer and order their chicken tenders, and then I try to head on home and not get in too much trouble, because late nights at Losers are never good for my soul. You know?
Yeah, I think we've all lost a little bit of dignity, pride, or something somewhere on that floor at Losers.
Yep.
They named it the right damn place, I'll tell you that. Yeah, I don't like, even I haven't been going but like 5 years to Nashville, like probably 5-6 years I've been going up there and staying like a good bit of time every time I go.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And it's just weird because when I first started going, you could go to Losers at any point in time and it wasn't bad. Like it was, you would have people there. It'd be crowded, but not like it is now. I feel like Broadway's got so packed. Now they're migrating up the Division and Demumbrian and everything like that. And it's just like, damn, this wasn't even this way when I started coming up here. So I can only imagine what it's like for y'all.
Yeah, well, you know what it is? It's us talking about it on podcasts. And, you know, it really is. It's like Whiskey Jam. When I first moved to town, the first Whiskey Jam I ever went to, Chris Stapleton was playing in Winter. And I walked in and sat down at a table. Like, there were maybe 30 people in there. And, like, I don't know. I've seen so many great people play Whiskey Jam back in those days. And it was literally just like songwriters and industry people at it. But then Whiskey Jam, you know, started getting in magazines and articles and whatever. And now, like last time I played it a few months ago, the line was wrapped around the block. So, you know, Nashville's growing and changing at like a crazy rate. But
yeah, whenever I did the show with Bobby, we were going to go later that day because there was a big one for, I think that's when Hardy and everybody. That's when, they got ran out of there, got evacuated. But
Or collapsed because there were so many people, on the patio.
Yeah. Luckily, Justin Andrews, I don't know if you know him or not. He plays it. Him and Bobby do a lot of stuff together, but he plays at Losers. Luckily, his apartment is like overlooks Losers. So we were just like, you know what? I already wasn't going to do the line. I didn't got to be entitled. I'm pretty much a princess now. Like I hate I know, right? I am pampered as shit. I hate that I'm this way, but I've done got spoiled like going with my friends to shows. I don't want to wait in a line and mainly don't wait in line for a beer or to use the bathroom. I can't stand that shit. I just would rather not go. But if I can't stand like on the side of the stage or behind the stage or whatever and actually enjoy the show, I do not want to be elbow to elbow and not be able to move or do anything. That's miserable to me now.
I know. I think it's because we're getting older because I say the same thing all the time. I'm like, I'm just spoiled now living here in town and having so many friends in the business and it's also my job now. So like, I don't really go to many shows where it's not like somebody I know is playing or, you know, I think so the publishing company that I'm at, Colby Cooper is at.
I like Colby Cooper.
He's great. And he was opening for Co in Franklin, sometime this summer. And like everybody at our company was going to see it. And they were like, you should just ride with us or whatever. And I was like, no, I got shit going on. I'll drive separate. Big mistake. Drove there and like had to walk a mile to get to Will Call to get my pass. Like, and I was like being such a bitch, and I was thinking like, you are so spoiled. Like before you moved to Nashville, you used to do this shit all the time. Like it's just going to a concert, but it's just like, yeah, when you get used to being able to skip the line and not like, you know, have to pay to park and all that stuff. I was like, this was miserable when I left.
I'm the same damn way. And my friends, like, I'm glad that I still live like in my small town and I built the studio and everything here. But like my friends want to go to, we went to go see, who was it? Luke Combs and Cody Johnson and Morgan Wade's badass and Zach Bryan in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah. I was trying to come to that one, but I didn't end up coming.
I was miserable the entire time. Everybody else is just like having the time of their life. And I've got my arms crossed and I'm just pissed off. I'm already mad. Like I've seen Luke so many times and he's amazing. Like I really like everything that he does, But I really wanted to hear Zach Bryan and I wanted to hear Morgan Wade. Mm-hmm. So I already had pissed every one of my friends off. So I was like, no, we're going this early to see them. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if y'all wanted, you know, sitting up wherever, I don't care. Those are the ones I want to hear. And they only played like 4 or 5 songs each, which I kind of figured they would or whatever. But then I realized, like, halfway through Cody Johnson's set, and I really like all his stuff too, was like, you know what? I'm just not going to a big show again. I am not going to a big show unless I am with somebody, because this is not fun to me anymore. Like, there's nothing about this that I enjoy. And I think I'm just a prick now. Like, yeah. All the rest of my friends are just having the time of their life, and I'm just miserable.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm the same way. I think it's really just age too. Like, when I was like in college, I used to go to Luke Bryan's farm tour every year and use a porta potty and, you know, get hammered and not be able to find my car. And, you know, it's like everything was great. I was having the time of my life. Now that's like my worst nightmare. Like, I got to use a porta potty and walk a mile to my car. I'm out.
Those farm tours back in the day used to hit different.
Oh, they were great.
I've had so much fun out. I've also been rained on. I've been covered in mud. They've always been, I don't know. I used to enjoy the shit out of them, but you couldn't pay me to go now.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot bigger now too. Like, the ones I'm talking about that I went to when I was in Athens, like, it was right when he started them. And I mean, he was a superstar, but not like now, you know. There were no catwalks and stuff. It was like a normal stage. And like, I don't know. I would be interested to look back and see like how many people were at those things, but it's nothing like it is now.
Yeah, I know. I got two of my buddies. I think Dallas and the Peach Pickers and all are out with them right now. Mm-hmm. My buddy Tyler Branch and Riley Lowry, they're playing for somebody with them right now. And they sent me a picture the other day, and it was literally, there's probably 40,000 people there. And it wasn't even close to that back in the day.
Yeah. That's a lot of people. Like, look at that many people from the stage. Many nights in a row has got to be, I guess it's like anything else. You just get used to it, but it's wild.
I don't know if I could. I don't know if I could.
The more people, the better.
Yeah. The first time I ever was on stage in front of that many people was my first day in country radio. We had to go announce for Tracy Lawrence. And Tracy Lawrence, I think Lane Hardy. And I was so nervous. I was just a wreck. And I had a couple beers or whatever. And, of course, the first thing that I say is I say shit. And I didn't mean to, and I didn't think about it. And now I don't have a problem cussing in front of anybody. But the radio station, first day, because there was like 5,000 people. And when you – just that many people, you look out there, it just is weird to me.
Yeah, that's crazy. The most people – I say the more people, the better. That's not necessarily true. I still love, like, I would still do a college bar circuit if I could. Like, I love those, like, dive bars too. But the most people we ever played in front of was Luke Combs played Virginia Beach. I want to say it was like the Patriotic Festival. I can't remember what year, maybe 2019. But anyway, me and Muscadine Bloodline opened for him. There were 60,000 people on that beach. I mean, like, from, I couldn't see, like, it was just as far as I could see. It was just like a sea of people. And that was a wild feeling. And I'm like, I can't imagine getting to do that every night. Like, the energy with that many people when you're on stage is kind of wild.
I bet it is. Do you got any shows coming up? Like, what do you got booked coming up?
I'm playing a thing with Drew Parker and the Kentucky Headhunters.
That's
which I'm
awesome.
Drew's a friend. I love him. I'm excited about that. But, like, I love the Kentucky Headhunters. I've, like, listened to them when I was young. We're playing in Hendersonville, Tennessee on October 21st.
Okay.
Some kind of, like, a pig cookout festival. I don't know. I'm the worst about remembering names and stuff. And then, honestly, other than, like, some songwriter rounds, I'm pretty much done for the year. So I'm hoping that in the spring, after we put some of this new music out, I'll get back on the road. It's another thing, like, touring as a woman is another thing. Like it's tough to get slots as a woman. And I get it, because it's harder to take a woman on the road. Like there's things you got to think about when you got a girl on the road that you know, you don't want to do. So I don't know. I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm used to it. I've been doing it for so long, but I can see why a lot of girls, why it's hard to tour.
Really? I've never thought of it that way.
Well, it's like when you, even venues like that you would think this wouldn't be an issue or whatever, they'll tell you to have a green room for you to get ready in. And you get there and it's like this closet in the corner that I would never sit on the couch because somebody probably had sex on it the night before. And there's no mirror for you to put your makeup on. So I'm like, now I ask when I say, do you have a green room? I say, do you have a green room that has a mirror where I can get ready? Because it's like, they'll say, yeah, we're good. You're good. And we get there and it's like, no, you don't have, you know, because dudes can just throw on a hat and go out there and play or change t-shirts in the parking lot and go play. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's interesting. The road life is funny for a girl. I can't count the times I've plugged up a curling iron in the van and like, you know, done my makeup in the dark out with somebody holding their phone flashlight in the van and stuff. It was just, yeah, it's just different for a girl.
Yeah. I've never thought about that. I've had a couple of my buddies try to talk me into going on the road with them for a couple of weeks at a time, but my daughter's like my best friend in the world. And like, I can't be gone from her like for long periods. My show would be way bigger if I lived in Nashville. Besides for, I just don't want to be around that many people all the time. Like I like the small town stuff, but I couldn't be gone. And I just, that road living is not for me. I would be miserable.
I love it. I really do. But it's exhausting. It's, you know, especially if you really, if you do it right and you're like meeting people and, you know, actually getting to know people that come to the shows and stuff. It's like, it's so much more than just playing that hour and a half set. You know, it's like you hang for a couple hours after the show and meet fans and stuff. And then at my level, we're usually in a van and I'm a control freak. So I like to drive because I don't trust anybody else to. That's a problem. But so like, I don't get a lot of sleep when we're on the road. And then you're like trying to stay hydrated, but you don't want to have to stop to pee every hour because you got 8 hours to get to sound check and it's a 9-hour drive or whatever. So it's like, it's stressful, you know. You got to really love it to want to do it consistently, because I mean, it's definitely adds years to your life, I think.
I'm 35 and I'm aging like shit anyway. I don't need another reason why. I don't need another reason why for another wrinkle or another gray hair yet.
I feel you.
So I guess you got to be excited about next week though, with Anything But Over coming out though, right?
I'm pumped. I'm so excited that it seems like people are like, I mean, I've put out music in the past years ago, and at this new company that I'm at, we started putting out music in April. So we've put 3 songs out before this one. And we kind of just wanted to like let people know I'm still around, because it had been so long since, you know, I'd released music. And I just really had dialed into the songwriting thing, and I hadn't given up on the artist thing, but I'm broke as hell. And I was out of a deal, and I was kind of like, God, like, if you want me to do the artist thing, you're going to have to make a way, because I can't do it, you know? And I kind of just like really honed in on writing. But when I signed at this new company, it wasn't very long after I signed there as a songwriter that they were like, do you want to put music out? And I was like, yes. So we put out 3, and this is the 4th one. And the other 3 have gone well. And like, but what we really wanted to do was kind of like rebuild and like just hopefully get more exposure. And by the time we start putting out what I feel like are my best songs, have a little more of an audience listening, you know? So I feel like, I don't know, this one feels a little different. We already have like way more pre-saves on this one alone than we had the other 3 combined, you know? So it feels really good that it seems like people are really liking it.
It, well, Well, it's catchy and it's relatable and it's, I mean, it's just good.
Thank you.
And I also like anytime a woman throws fuck into a song. So that's going to blow up on TikTok and every other social media. And I hate TikTok. I do the shit I do, the stupid stuff to market my show, to help build my platform, to get paid and everything on here. But that, the more that it is heard, people are going to use the absolute shit out of it.
Thank you. I hope you're right. I hope so. I just like the whole fuck thing is interesting because it's the way we wrote it. And, you know, a lot of songs, there's hits. Like that CeeLo Green, like fuck you or whatever. They made it forget you for the radio. Like the Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
You should go love yourself. Like that was fuck yourself. It's like, you know, people do it all the time, but you have to clean it up for radio. And like right now at my level, it's like radio ain't playing my shit anyway. So it's like, I'd rather just put it out the way we wrote it. But, you know, we had the conversations because like some people from my team were like, ooh, like it's country music. Like, you know. And I don't know. I hope people don't think that we're doing it to be like, oh my God, she said fuck. It's just really more like say that. And what's wild is like a lot of my girlfriends say fuck constantly, but they would never put it in a song. You know, it's like, cause we don't think we can. So I don't know. I was just like, I'm going with it. My poor mama is devastated though.
I think that that's what, besides for it just being, it's empowering. Like the word fuck is empowering. I use it way more than what I ought to. I can make it just make anything, make it 10 times more powerful if I had fuck in front of it.
That's true.
And when you say it the way that you say it in that song, it just is so smooth that like forget or whatever wouldn't work.
That's the alternative. That's what, you know, we talked about maybe doing forget what our friends think. And when I play it live, depending on the crowd, like I did the Chrissy Metz tour and we did like City Wineries and it was like an older crowd, or like if I play at the Listening Room and I see some kids on the front row, like I'll go with forget because I'm not trying to like, you know, piss anybody off, especially any parents or anything. But I don't know. My brother, when I first sent it to him, he's like my good judge of like what's cool and what's not. Cause he likes country music, but not like me. Like he's more of a Kings of Leon, Moon Taxi, like jam band kind of dude. And so I always like sending him songs because he has no dog in the fight and doesn't like have any professional opinions, but he'll always be like, that one's pretty cool. Or like, yeah, not my thing. You know, like he'll just be honest. And I want to make music for people, other people too, that aren't like me and could just sit there and listen to Keith Whitley all day, you know? And on this one, he was like, that song that you say, fuck in, he's like, you got to send me that again. Like, I gotta listen to that. And I've had multiple people say that. It's the song you say, fuck in. So I'm like, I couldn't take it out. You know, it's like people, see, it sticks with you. And I love how it's like, fuck what our friends think.
Yeah.
It's not fuck you or anything. It's like, it's how I would say it. Like, fuck what people think. I don't care. You know?
Forget, if you were to change it to forget there, it takes away so much from it. Saying fuck what our friends think. It's just like, it makes it so much more passionate. It makes it so much better. And I also think the fact that you didn't make it, nobody, I don't think that anybody really gives a shit about making anything for radio anymore. And unless that it's just a Luke Combs or a Wallen that's already, they know whatever they put out is going to be number one anyway. They know that it doesn't matter. They could read the fucking phone book and you're going to get 10 million 18-year-olds for Morgan Wallen that are going to buy it or whatever. I think that the way that social media has developed, that you don't even need to do anything for radio anymore. You're your own marketing team. You are putting out stuff that people want to be real. They want the real feelings, the authentic version of you. And when you do that, that's just like, you can almost put yourself, a good artist can paint a picture for you. When you sing that, you're painting the picture. When you say that, it's just like, All right. I know exactly how she feels because I've been there. She's not sugarcoating this shit. She really doesn't care what the fuck her friends think. She doesn't care. And that's badass.
Well, thank you. I wrote that song about a very toxic relationship that I was in, and it was not a good thing. But, well, I wasn't in it when I actually wrote the song, but I wrote it from, you know, that place that I was in for a long time, because I had a lot of my good friends at the time being like, whoa, like, think you deserve a little more than you're getting kind of thing. So it's funny because looking back, I'm like, I should have been listening to my fucking friends. But when you're in that place and you're not ready to hear it, you know, I want to make music for people that have like been through some shit, because I have. And I just miss that. That's what I miss in country music. It's like when I was 8 or 9 years old and I was listening to Trisha Yearwood sing, you know, the song Remembers When, I hadn't ever had my heart broken, but I felt like I had, you know. I was like, oh my God, like that's the best. That's still my favorite shit is Trisha and Liam Womack and Patti Loveless, Tanya Tucker. Like, and they weren't playing the game really, you know. They were singing about grown ass woman shit, like stuff that they had been through. And I hate that girls have felt like over the last, I feel like, decade that we have to like water it down, and we have to be, because the girls that are working other than Miranda are a little more glittery, I guess is what you would say. It's like it puts pressure on, you know, it's like, oh God, well, if that's how we have to be to get on the radio, you know. So I don't know. I'm just really happy that I'm not really a TikTok person either. I mean, I love it. I get on it and watch comedians and stuff, but my team has just convinced me. They're like, it's just another marketing tool. We don't care if your shit blows up on there or not. You know, we love the music, so we're still going to put your music out, but you'd be dumb not to use it. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And then, I don't know, all of a sudden, like the last week since we've been promoting this song, I just am constantly seeing like notifications, like more and more followers. And I'm like, people actually like my music on TikTok. I don't know. It feels good. I'm excited.
Well, the good thing about it, and I used to hate the damn thing, but like with any of your music, if you put out a certain song that's like a happy song, it's going to get put into the algorithm that it's going to distribute it to people that have the same whatever as you do, the same outlook as far as that song goes. So with that being like a kind of a badass song and what it stands for and everything, you're going to get a whole lot of relationship stuff. So like whenever one of my buddies are asking me like what they need a hashtag or anything like that, like anything that's relationship wise that you can hashtag when that song comes out, man, it will blow up. I like the realness of it, but it's just everything around you. Like you're authentic. There's a lot of the people I've had on the show. I can see through somebody being full of shit in a heartbeat. I can. And you know what's crazy? It's never the women. It's never it's never the female artists.
Yeah.
I'm
thankful for the way the music industry has been harder for girls, especially lately, because I feel like it's caused a lot of, like, at least a lot of my friends, like Lainey and Ashley, and like they're getting shit done and they are doing it the way they want to do it. I don't know. It's like the more pressure has made some people like really rise to the, you know, challenge and like figure out who they are and not stray from it at all. And it's like nice to see that, because I don't know, I feel like it's like the comeback right now for women in country music. Like there's a lot, Morgan Wade, like there's a lot of real good music being made by women right now.
Yeah, and Lainey's just kill. I don't know her from Adam now. I'm just a fan of her, but oh my God, like she is, I feel like she is her and the names that you mentioned, mm-hmm. just blazing the trail for everybody right now.
Yeah, Lainey's one of my good friends, and she's one of the first people I really started writing with, like, consistently in town. We've written a ton of songs, And she's one of my favorite writers. Like, even if she wasn't doing the artist thing, she's an incredible songwriter. And that girl, she moved here in a camper trailer and has busted her ass. I mean, she opened shows for me in Georgia, like probably like 5 years ago, because she was from Louisiana and was trying to get in the Georgia circuit. And that was like the one place that I like knew people and could actually book shows as a girl. And so I took her with me. But like, I don't know, we've just always been, to watch her shit over the last couple of years is wild. But it's also been like so cool for me. It's like I've like been able to breathe because I'm like, okay, it does happen for some people. Like, well, Luke is a friend, Luke Combs, but like, I guess Lainey's the one that I've really been able to see every step of like, oh, now people are noticing, you know, because for so long, nobody gave a shit. And now she's, I don't know, she just like, I think broke a record for the most nominations for either ACM.
It was like six, I think, is what she got.
Yeah. And I'm so excited. I have two songs on that record she's putting out in October, and I've never been more proud, like, to have cuts on someone else's stuff. She's killing it.
That's cool. Well, I'm excited to hear yours. So we'll say it one more time, and then I'll let you get off here. Y'all, please go pre-save Anything But Over.
Pretty Fair, Please.
Pretty Please. And check out the rest of her songs, too. Well, I hope they do. I hope they end up being obsessed with you like I am.
Thank you.
Maybe they won't stalk you, though. I probably will.
Yeah, I don't need multiple restraining orders.
Shit. Well, anyway, tell them what you
really appreciate it. I want you to know that. I appreciate it. Like,
you're welcome.
I think a big part of the struggle for women is there's not enough dudes being like, this woman's a badass. So I appreciate you doing that. Thank you.
Well, I didn't know that there was a struggle for women until I worked in country radio. And then coming out of country radio, I made some really good connections with some people in Nashville through the guy who's like my big brother. His name's Lee Tucker. Him introducing me to people. Oh, he's a songwriter. And I've seen it firsthand. And I might come off like a very sexist pig a good bit of time. I'm a single 35-year-old man. I am not always going to be politically correct. I'm going to say some stupid shit to get my ass in trouble a lot of the time. Don't get me wrong. But I have seen some of the most talented women and just being like, why am I not hearing this on the radio? But I'm hearing, and I'm going to say glitter again. I'm hearing this glitter fucker. It does not make sense to me. And like one of our friends is Priscilla, and I am just the proudest I could be of that girl. And it's just like, I want to hear these women that are badass, that actually are empowering other women and actually being a strong positive influence and saying the hell with it. I'm not going to sit there and I'm not going to whatever. Like, I love that shit. I probably listen to a whole lot more female artists than I listen to male artists when I'm drinking or riding dirt roads or whatever. I'll listen to The Fool a million times. Like, I love The Fool.
There's not a better song.
I couldn't think of one. And, but like, I love that. And like, I don't like I said, I feel like it's my job, me giving this platform, with the show being the top 1% in the world and everything that I get to do and the people I get to be around. I want to push the women and I want to push the men too, but I want to push the people that actually have something worth saying, that are putting out something good, to where, yeah, some DJ on the radio might not, because they might not give a shit who you are, but also fuck them. Like they're,
fuck them.
Yeah, they don't care. They want the ratings. I want the art. I want the people to do my show and to share the folks that are end up going to have an all-time song. And that's how I look at it. More about legacy than about money with me.
Well, I appreciate it so much. You don't like, it takes people like you to help get our shit heard. So means a lot. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Well, tell them real fast your social media handles and we'll get the hell off here.
Okay. I'm everywhere. TikTok, obviously, Facebook, all that stuff. It's at Farron Rachels. That's like Karen with an F. A lot of people spell it wrong. So yeah, at Farron Rachels everywhere. And then obviously Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff if you want to hear the music.
Y'all go download each and every one, pre-save the new song. And ma'am, just thank you so much for hanging out and taking some time with me. I had fun talking to you.
I did too. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. And thank each and every one of y'all for listening to the Josh Terry Podcast. Catch y'all next time. Why the fuck is my mouse working?
I hope that was.
Do what?
I hope that's still recording.
It is.
Y'all.